This is EAA Radio, broadcasting the spirit of aviation around the globe.
Fast Eddie from EAA Radio here on the line with Norman Bergman, who has the distinction of being one of the last pilots to fly a P-61 Black Widow as a civilian contractor. Norman, you have the rare privilege of being a civilian pilot in a World War II airplane. What was it like to fly the P-61?
It was an experience that I will never forget. It was an airplane that was in advance of its time during World War II, and an airplane that was comparatively easy to fly, and for the most part, a very honest airplane. It had the power to do the job that we wanted to do, and that was the most important part, which was high-altitude aerial photography.
You said here you were flying at 32,000 feet and that the airplane didn't really seem to like it. What was the actual service ceiling of the P-61?
The actual book ceiling I can't tell you, but I do know that at 28,000 feet, it very quickly slowed its climb rate. And it was a very good airplane up to about 30,000 feet, but beyond that, you flew at a nose-high altitude until you used enough gas to bring up the speed. I only lost one engine during the 2 years that we flew. Had other little problems.
What kind of other little problems did you have?
For one thing, it had an autopilot in it, which was rare for a World War II aircraft. And the autopilot was controlled by the gyros in the airplane. If the gyros tumbled, the airplane did too.
Oh, that's not good.
So at one time we were flying over El Paso, and the gyro tumbled, and the airplane nosed over immediately, just as fast as you can imagine, and I found myself in the top of this cockpit. The camera, which weighs about 35, 40 pounds, flew up and hit my photographer in the face, and the only thing I could do was grab a hold of the seat, my seat, and pull me back down into position so I could turn off the autopilot. And then we were all right, but we did have to land because of the camera had been broken.
Oh, that had to hurt. Speaking of the airplane, now I'm assuming that this P-61 you were flying was very well stripped down from all of the electronics of the night fighter as well as all of the armament, too.
The only added portion that we had, we put in 600 gallons in the fuselage to extend the range of the airplane.
What did you really like about the P-61?
The airplane had plenty of power for everything up to about 28,000 feet, and it was extremely maneuverable. It had not only the aileron, the normal aileron in my airplane, but it also had the spoilers, which helped pull it around. So we could make fairly fast turns going from one flight line to the next when we were doing our photo mapping. Everything in it was automatic. It was a hydraulic airplane. The cowl flaps, the engine flaps, everything was operated hydraulically.
You also flew P-38s as well as B-17s. That's quite a resume there.
I flew B-17s after the P-61 and the P-38, although I flew a P-38 about the same time I was flying a B-17. But I enjoyed flying the 61 better because it was more... It was built so well that it was just a comfortable airplane to sit in.
How are the systems on this? I understand that a lot of the hydraulics and other systems on board this airplane were pulled right off of the B-25. Did those systems ever pose any kind of unusual problems?
Only one during the time I flew it. In the wheel nacelle, there was a distribution box, and it had about 10 valves on it. And on taking off, in Chihuahua, Mexico, the gear came up, but it came up extremely slow. And as a result of that, it bothered me to put the point, if I'd lost an engine at that time, I would have trouble maintaining altitude. So we took it to Burbank, and they changed that little valve. It's only about a half-inch valve. And it took them an hour to figure out where it was and an hour to fix it, and then I was off. And other than that, we never had any problems with it at all.
So you're saying that the P-61 was a very reliable airplane then?
It was a very reliable airplane, very well thought out in its engineering. And it had one other feature that I really enjoyed because we worked in the south so much. It had cowl flaps that went all the way around the engine. and it had, those call flaps were automatic. Now, if the temperature was high and we had to taxi a long ways, I'd leave those call flaps all the way open to keep it fairly cool. But on takeoff run, I just hit the switch into automatic, and the call flaps would close automatically and then open to their to whatever temperature they needed.
What about the engines on board? You had the Pratt & Whitney R2800s. Did you ever have any major problems with those engines?
The only problem, I didn't have any trouble with the engine other than the one time we lost it. It had Curtis Electric propellers on it. And at one time, I had one propeller that would run away from me on takeoff and speed up so the blades would flatten out. As a result of that, it wasn't giving me any pull. So we had to shut it down and come back, and we worked on that for several weeks, really, trying to get it fixed. And finally, I had to manually operate the propeller on takeoff so that it wouldn't run away.
As I recall, some of the Curtis Electric props were known for doing that.
Yes, I was flying B-24s during World War II, and I watched all four engines go out at the same time because of that.
How many hours did you log into P-61?
I can't tell you exactly, but we flew it for 2 years, and I would say that on an average, we probably put in about 30, 35 hours a week during the time that we were actually in operation. So I'm sure that we put in a couple of thousand hours in it anyhow.
Was there a lot of room inside that airplane to move around while you were in flight?
Not really. The cockpit was, compared to 38, was large, but you still couldn't move around. In order to get out of my seat, I had to lean it back and then slide out of it into the back compartment. But there was no point in that because you couldn't do anything once you were back there.
What happened to the airplane that you were flying?
When we finished the job in Mexico, it sat for quite a while until they got another job up in Wyoming. And then I flew it for a while then, and then it went into storage. And eventually was sold to a firefighting organization in California. And they crashed it, and unfortunately, the crew was killed. Had they asked me, I would have told them that it was not a good airplane for what they wanted to do. It was a big airplane. It was a heavily built airplane. It was just as strong as any airplane I've ever seen.
And if there was anything about the airplane that you would have changed, what would it have been?
If there were one thing, perhaps I would want the gear to retract faster than it did, giving you a little bit more confidence in single-engine operation. Other than that, I really can't think of anything because it was such a well-constructed airplane.
Norman, would you consider flying one again if you happened to bump into one that needed a pilot?
With a tranquilizer in me, absolutely. You have to understand, I'm 83 years old now.
Norman, you have had a pretty colorful flying career. Are you still flying today?
No, I stopped flying. I used to go out and rent airplanes locally here. For a long time, I flew airlines here out of Spokane here, and they went broke, so I quit flying pretty much for a while. And then every once in a while, I'd get the yearning to go flying, and I'd go out and get an airplane from the small airport we have here in the valley, and I'd fly around a little bit. But I miss the bigger airplanes, the P-61, the P-38, and the like.
Oh, well, trying to get into any of these airplanes anymore takes a major miracle. Talk to a lot of Warbird drivers and owners. You know, the problem is basically gas and insurance.
That's right. We, as I remember, we burned about 190 gallons an hour in the 61.
Well, Norman, it's been great talking to you. We appreciate you getting in touch with us. And I hope you find yourself in the seat of an airplane here soon.
All right. Well, thank you very much for calling, and I enjoyed talking to you.
You're listening to EAA Radio.